It is Thursday, the 29th of November, and this is episode 144 of Digital Outbox. Welcome along to another sunny episode. Oh, I say sunny, it's freezing outside. Ian's here.
It is sunny.
What's that?
Hello. It is sunny. Well, it's not as sunny because it's night, but that is just a technicality.
Yeah, actually, it was very sunny today. It was a good day, other than the fact it was freezing cold.
How's the car?
Oh, cold. So I drove it back for the first time today. No roof, no doors, pretty much 0 degrees, sun gone down. And now I've got a cold, which is good. But it's nice to have it.
Good.
Yeah. Very happy. So sorry we weren't around last week for you. And we're going to be doing a similar thing next week. So next week we're not going to be around, but then we will be around the following week. But that will be our final episode for this year. So we'll be having a break until the new year.
Have a Kit Kat.
I might well have a Kit Kat.
I think you've had enough Kit Kat.
Whatever. So let's talk some news then. So it's been a little while. And the first story we're going to start with is Twitter on its rampage. It's not going to let Tweetro through onto Windows 8, or rather it's not going to expand the number of users that Tweetro is allowed to use on Windows 8.
I don't know what I was more surprised at, Twitter doing this or that Tweetro actually had sold 100,000 clients.
So Tweetro is pretty much the only Windows 8 native app for Twitter at the moment.
Yep, because Twitter don't have their own.
Yep.
And so Tweetro applied, and I guess everybody's known the developer changes that they made this year, or Twitter have made, and there's this 100,000 token limit. So Tweetro applied to them and says, look, surely we're a special case, brand new platform, loads of people love this app, and unfortunately not.
No, unbelievably. So basically, other than the browser on Windows 8, there is no proper client. And obviously, Tweetro, Lazy Worm are the team that made the program. And they saw an opportunity, and a good one at that, to get in there while everyone's looking for a Twitter client. And they're not going to be able to take advantage of that. Early bird is not catching the worm, or something like that.
No, and it's not the only case. I'm trying to find it quickly. I knew I should have done a bit more research.
No, that's
but there
fine.
There was a case today where there's a company in America took Twitter to court because they believed they had an agreement to have access to the full firehose, and Twitter have said, no, you don't. You'll go through one of these official third parties. And I don't think they've got a leg to stand on this company, but in court in America, they've said Twitter have to keep the fire hose open for this company until they can actually do the full legal case. So it has it kind of, it's almost like a stay of execution for 6 weeks or so. But there's a contract. The contract's expired. Twitter have walked away from it. I don't think they've got a leg to stand on. But
no, and I don't think...
People Browser, that's the name of the company.
I don't think it's going to affect Twitter in anything other than the developer community. In the long run, it might affect Twitter in that, you know, are we going to see a lack of innovation? We've talked that through all, but this is the outcome of it. And they're clearly, even on Virgin platforms, they're not willing to budge. They really are wanting to make Twitter themselves. They're trying to rein it all back in again. So, and yes. It's not as if they weren't doing certain things that Twitter don't already do. So they had some unique features to their site, which is one of the things that Twitter says could increase your user base. But they have sort of clarified almost and saying, well, anything that our future or current programs might offer, you've got to be doing something different from that. But anything your future program will offer could cover anything, you know, could be anything you could put as a feature of your own program.
Mark Quarmont had a great post, which is basically, if you've got an idea around Twitter, don't. They're no longer friendly to, you know, third parties. They're almost a closed wall, which is a real shame.
Well, yeah, and
I'd say
whether it will affect Twitter in the long run, because Twitter, as it is now, is obviously a very successful platform and will continue to be so, up to a point. But it's partly got there through innovation. I think they'll lose some of that innovation because, like that article says, what's the point of putting out a novel idea if you're not going to get the user base and Twitter can just steal your idea? But they've extended discovery into their own stream. So instead of just showing you 140 character tweets, they're now showing video and pictures sort of embedded in the Twitter stream. So you don't have to expand them anymore. You don't have to click to have a look at them. They're actually, I can't remember the word that they use, but it's all in line now.
Yeah, it just looks like Facebook. You know, if you look at the official Twitter app and actually look at it, it just feels like you're looking at a series of Facebook posts with, you know, video images. It's no bad thing. It's just very different from that.
Yeah,
I'm seeing, you know, 140 characters and I can consume all this really quickly. It has really changed how Twitter looks.
Does it? I haven't really looked at Twitter for so long now, especially the real, you know, I just use Tweetbot. Does it show the conversation that happens around each tweet as well? Or does it?
Yeah, you can click on that and see the conversations as well.
Because then it's just Facebook. And because most people post most of their tweets to Facebook now anyway, you know, there's no difference.
As I said, I still have that little fear that, you know, I mean, I picked up Tweetbot, and when it came out for Mac, it was $20, but it was instant purchase. I just hope that at some point they don't turn around and say, actually, we're just going to switch it off for third party. The only way you get, and there's surely they can't be going there because it would kill them.
I'm not sure it'd kill Twitter off. I'm not sure it would.
Well,
hard to know, but
I think it would kill it off for kind of our community. I think it wouldn't kill it off for kind of mass market.
It's still, it'd certainly leave a dirty taste in the mouth. I mean, it does seem, Twitter seems to have turned into pretty much a way that celebrities just promote what they're doing and people consume, like, you know, crappy magazines and stuff. It's very much used for that nowadays.
Yeah, or telling people when the latest edition of a podcast is out. Like, shameless.
Or getting into trouble with the law. So basically slagging people. So on to iTunes 11, and we have finally got access to it. I say we, I have not, as per normal, but apparently now I can download it, should I so wish.
It came out today.
Have you downloaded it?
I downloaded it on my MacBook Air. I didn't trust it on the main iMac.
Yeah, that's saying something, isn't it? Isn't that interesting to say that you don't trust it? Because I'm the same. I don't trust new bits of software from Apple anymore.
It is a bag of hurt.
Is it? Well, it can be.
There's another word that springs to mind.
Yeah, hurt was much nicer. it's offering a new, cleaner, fresher UI that integrates features rather than sort of making them feel like they're one, you know, separate little items that are sort of stuck together in one big program. It's trying to integrate everything back down now, using panes and things like that to keep.
On first use tonight on the laptop, it's actually pretty spiffy.
It should be. They've spent another month building it when they, you know,
exactly. But the very visual. I didn't really try. Lots of people are talking about the playlist features, and it's a lot better. I didn't have time to try that. I popped in at the store, and again, a lot more easier to use than the current version. So side by side, I was actually liking those features.
I don't really use the store though, so I don't really buy music that way. So. Because that's, you know, that's they haven't gone the Spotify direction yet.
No,
maybe they will one day.
There's still lots of rumors that next year they'll see a streaming client, and I think at some point they will.
But I will be downloading it with interest because, as we all know, the iTunes is pretty poor. So maybe they've actually gone some way to helping it. iCloud's all enabled throughout, and maybe it'll also mean I can have my music back. You think?
One thing I did notice, I switched on. It seemed to have lost with the upgrade. It said iTunes in the clouds or iTunes Match, switch it on. It was like it was switched on. So I don't know if that was just a little bug.
I'm finding more and more times there's settings that I cannot set to on because I go to another device and they're just back off again. It's just weird.
Yeah, well, I switched it on and it took a few minutes and then that was it. And what I noticed is when I went to videos, I had five or six movies all in the cloud, which is new. And I just played like Prometheus.
So you could all then sort of stream down, will they?
Yep. So somebody very kindly bought me Prometheus for Blu-ray on my birthday, and it came with one of these crazy type the vouchers in, and you'll get it for your iOS or Android devices.
So now that's available and on whatever device you want.
Yeah, I just went to the Mac and the laptop, and it was there.
That's
good. Playing after 10-15 seconds, it kicked in.
Hey, it's almost like it's the future.
This is the future.
Brilliant. That sounds good. As long as you're within the iTunes network. So a bit delayed. They did spend a bit more time than they thought. It was going to be the end of October, but they did come out and say end of November, and they've just made it in the right side. Nokia. So Nokia were trying to get ahead of the game on iOS to sort of step into the maps market. And they've released Nokia Here to iOS. Have you looked at it?
Yeah.
Any good?
Not really.
No. So they've jumped in with another offering that's not particularly good. It does offer you sort of points of interest and things like that, which was one of the big criticisms that Apple got that quite wrong. But they only have you can download local maps for offline viewing, but you've got a 10 megabyte cap, which seems a bit arbitrary and silly as to what you can download. So you can't locally download very much, to be honest.
And the maps themselves, it looked clear enough. The satellite view over Glasgow was a bit mucky. So a bit like kind of early kind of, you know, the iOS maps. And I just felt nothing really, it didn't give me anything, you know, new, different. The search didn't seem particularly strong either.
So it's turn by turn navigation. You've got your local points of interest, information and search for local. But if they're not offering anything different or better than iOS, the iOS maps, well, they've not stepped in and filled the breach. They've just said, we can't do it any better either.
And I do wonder if they're trying to step into it, because I know they talked about how they're going to have APIs available. I do wonder if they're trying to chase the developer market, because, you know, Google now charged for that, and Apple Maps aren't particularly strong, but then they're baked in, so a lot of apps have moved over to it.
They have to. I mean, because they use API calls inside their apps, they have to use iOS Maps. They've got no choice.
And as I said, see, for Glasgow, iOS Maps have been fine. You know,
I haven't looked back at iOS Maps, but I bet they've improved tenfold since I last looked. It's one of the benefits of living in the middle of nowhere with only two centres of commerce.
Yes.
They tend to concentrate on you. But in the meantime, Apple are looking to TomTom to try and help them sort out their points of interest. They had gone with Yelp initially on the initial release, but that had led to wild inaccuracies in location and detail of points of interest and things, directions to completely the wrong place. In the middle of C sometimes as well, wasn't it? It was weird.
And I think also some of the points of interest were old. You know, the one that I can still remember was Our Price was getting listed in lots of places around the UK, which shut 10 years ago.
Virgin Megastores.
Exactly. Comet was also getting listed.
Oh, dear.
Is that sore?
Yeah, not good. but they're going to ask TomTom. And TomTom know what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And have a lot of information out there, so I guess if they can license that info off them, then all the better. Whether they can do that, I don't know.
But to be fair, last week, I can't remember who it was I saw on Twitter, just said, ooh, flyover maps are now available for Glasgow. And sure enough, they are. And they are quite spiffy. I'm sure I remember saying to you that there was one Saturday morning or Sunday morning, I was sitting here and there was a little Cessna plane flying over.
Yeah.
And it's around the same time.
Yeah.
So I am convinced in my head.
You saw the gridding plane.
Yep. Well, it kind of left. There's a little kind of Steve Jobs image as well.
So if we zoom in, are we going to see your little cheeky smile pointing, looking out your window?
Binoculars.
Yeah. the picture you put up looked amazing.
And the maps are great, really, really quite fast and actually quite, see, because you know the area so well, you're going to areas and going, oh, that looks fantastic.
Looks fantastic. Does it add in? I guess it's one of those things, it puts you in the location.
It doesn't. Doesn't. So let's be honest, it's not Street View. Street View is useful. This is nice looking.
So, this is something you want to show your mates though, isn't it? That's the whole point of it, is that,
yeah,
look at
but
this.
But when you're doing a search if you're going to a place you're not sure of and you fire up Street View, instantly you get a kind of, okay, I know where I'm going, I know what it looks like. You know, I've got it in the Nexus just now, you're putting the directions and it's like, boom, there you go, there's what it looks like. And I know there's a couple of people who have tried to argue, the flyovers give you that plus more. And it's like, no, it doesn't.
That Street View level is perfect because you just know what it's going to look like when you get there, basically.
And it's fine. I mean, I could certainly visit my house for the first time and see what it is. On flyover, because it's a wide open street and they're not tall buildings, going to the city centre, and I can't tell one shop from another.
But it looks
just like shops. It looks fantastic.
You could show your mum and she'd be like, ooh.
She was.
Yeah, there you go.
She went, oh, go to the art galleries. And so I did. And it was like, oh, go to the university. Oh, look. Oh, I remember when you graduated.
Right. But rumours fly. I don't know if they're more than rumours, but iOS mapping. Fact. This is fact that the iOS mapping guru has gone. Well, I say mapping guru. Guy in charge of mapping, Richard Williamson.
Oh, yeah. He got the bag.
he gone. He out of there.
So, yeah, so this is Eddie Q's been moved in, and he's taken a few weeks and he's taken some action. So the guy who actually oversaw the mapping team, and whether he's just a kind of sacrificial,
of course he is,
or whether they have found after a bit of investigation that he was incapable,
incompetent maybe. I mean, if it had been a lesser company than Apple, you'd have said those maps that came out, they're all right as a first stab, but we just expect,
well, just
we
like Nokia,
expect a lot more.
We said
more.
They were fine. Yeah. Nokia ones came out and they were like, hey, they're fine. The Apple ones came out and it was like, outrage.
Yeah, yeah. Because especially because we had, you know, the whole point was we had better before and now we got worse. That's the point.
Exactly. Anyway, and I just hope, I mean, we're in the middle of, when the run up to Christmas, there's loads of apps came out today, like absolutely tons. And I'm just kind of hoping that in a couple of weeks' time, there's a nice little Google Maps app appears.
Yeah, because it's about now that they do need to start appearing, don't they? So they get on that number one spot just for when everyone's opening their brand new shiny iPads and phones.
On. It's probably some crazy date around what, the 22nd or 23rd, that there'll be no more app updates for 10 days.
Yep.
And if you're number one, you're number one for that whole period.
Yeah, and obviously everyone who's got their new device is hammering the number one because they think, what, I want that. So, yeah. This story we're going to talk about, why does our iOS engage users more than Android? Is there a reason we're talking about it, or is, you know, has someone said something?
It's kind of come up again, especially after Black Friday. So obviously Black Friday is a big kind of shopping day in America,
which is leaking over here so quick. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. And that horribly named Cyber Monday. Cyber Monday.
Everyone hates the name, but it's great.
Well, it's fantastic because I got, I can't even remember what it was called, but I got it for free. Crash Plan. I got a Crash Plan family account for free for a year.
Well, there you go.
They started their sale on Black Friday, and basically every 2 hours it jumped up 2% in price from zero up to the full price. So I got it in right at the start, and it's free for a year. And it's a family plan, so all my computers can update to the cloud.
So you can store all this stuff out there. Wow.
And fair enough, I need to pay next year. But
we can give up by then.
It might actually save a lot of money instead of buying, you know, lots of redundant disk, you know, if it's all up in the cloud and it's just for that time when I do need it.
Oh, you'll have to let us know whether it updates quick enough and how long it takes to sort of back up a whole machine and stuff like that. It'd be interesting to know.
Will do.
Yeah, good.
So the reason I kind of added it in is it kind of sparked off a little debate again, because if you looked at mobile traffic, 77% of mobile traffic came from iOS devices on Black Friday.
Yep.
But if you look at sales, for every one iPhone sold, there's 5 Android devices.
So basically, there's cockloads of Android devices out there, but
absolutely
no one's using them. Well, very few, relatively few people are using them to actually buy stuff. And there's loads of different theories on it.
It's not just buy stuff. It's actually
be actively involved in looking at stuff.
Yeah, and that's a bit I can't get my head around. It's like, why is that? Is there some kind of stat that we're missing somewhere? Is Chrome not getting seen as mobile? Or I don't know. There's something just not right.
I just think the people who do buy Androids at the moment, I think we might be at a tipping point for one thing, but I think people who buy Androids are just buying them for different reasons. Maybe for being phones. Who knows? How radical is that? They buy phones that occasionally do other things.
Not sure.
There's a part of me which thinks that people who buy Apple products have generally got a bit of cash and they like spending that cash and they like buying apps and stuff. So, of course, they're going to go online and they're going to spend money that way as well.
And that's maybe true. I mean, I pulled out a couple of things. There was a few different theories in the article. They were saying Android is late adopters. So the early adopters are more likely to go and fiddle, download, try things. The later adopters will just stick with the default apps and they'll put maybe music and video on and not do too much more. Android users prefer free. There's always been that kind of I mean, you just said it there.
Like I say, most people, I think, would probably prefer an iPhone if they could afford it. So the reason they're buying an Android is maybe because they don't have the kind of cash to buy an iPhone. I'm talking out my ass, really, but you know.
No, it's interesting that the office I kind of work around, there's been three people in the last couple of weeks picked up Nexus 7s.
Think they're quite popular.
And lots of like, oh, it's better than an iPad. And I was like, okay, you got an iPad? No. But it's clearly better. And I was like, yeah, okay.
PlayStation, Xbox.
Exactly. And it's exactly the same as that. This is far better than the... and one guy today he says, yeah, but I get lots of spam. And I was like, spam? He says, yeah, I get adverts everywhere. I'm like, what do you mean? He says, look, and he fired up a movie app and it had adverts as he paused it. He says, look at all these spammy adverts. I went, yeah, but I says, $1.99, you can buy the app. He went, oh, I'm not buying an app. So it was an issue until like, no, I'm not buying an app.
I think that's generally an issue in the land of, you know, we always have moans when an app costs £2.99. Well, that's an absolute ripoff. Come on, get real. It's not. But maybe Android's just even worse than that, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's half strange... the developer's fault because they cannot be asked developing for Android and everyone wants to go and develop for iPhone.
Oh, I don't know about that. There's always this idea that there's a lot more engagement and a lot more people will buy stuff. And for developers, I mean, certainly the ones that have done apps on both platforms, I think the financials are coming out and saying it always favours iOS.
Yeah, and it's like a vicious circle, virtuous circle, if you like. Yes. You know, they go to iOS first because they know they're going to make some more money off of it.
It's interesting, and as you're saying it, I do kind of sense a tipping point. If I look at Twitter, you know, when all those Nexus, Nexus 4 and 10 was announced, there was so many people saying, actually, Apple, I'm not paying that money anymore because these devices are... Yeah. Good.
I know lots of people that have already either looked or are looking at the Nexus 7 and others that are getting it. And I don't know how you're getting on with it, but I think it is a great device.
Hardware is good. Stability is not good. So it's actually...
They still haven't cracked that then.
It's actually hard frozen on me 4 times now. Proper like stuck, frozen. I need to reboot it.
Yeah.
One of the times actually installing an app
leaves a sour taste in the mouth, doesn't it?
And when I rebooted back in, the app was nowhere to be seen. Right. And I went into the store, it didn't even know I'd done anything with it. And I was like, oh. So there's little things like that. But then I've asked around and nobody else has seen this.
Or they're just hiding it. Yeah.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. You know, because the couple of guys I spoke to over this week, I mean, one of them was like, I've not had one crash.
Yeah.
And I had a look at it. He'd installed 3 apps. Yeah. You know, he's had it for 2 weeks and put 3 apps on, and I've got like 30.
Well, maybe.
You know, and is that maybe the thing? Is that
maybe?
I don't know.
Maybe that's the downsides of not having such siloed off, you know, app space. You know, that cross. You know, the ability to cross integrate stuff. That's
right. Everybody I show that SNES emulator to just is total win.
So effectively, you've just bought a SNES. Brilliant.
Pretty much. On a plane now, instead of catching up in like tech articles, I'm playing Mario Kart.
Quite righty. Google Drive. Google have been enhancing their app suite across iOS and Android. Effectively, now you can update your spreadsheets, whereas you couldn't before. I think that's the biggest change, isn't it?
Yep. So the previous one had let you edit docs. This now it lets you edit spreadsheets, and that's for both Android and iOS.
And they have sped things up, made them more stable, and they've also enabled you to copy and paste with formatting across different app spaces, so across their different products.
It's a really nice app. I really like it.
It's so clever. I mean, it's amazing what we do in the browser now, that we just don't think about it. We run our whole podcast in the browser.
Absolutely.
And it's not long ago that would have been impossible.
And for a while, it was impossible. Exactly. I'm not going to edit that out either, because that's your own fault for sitting there drinking Coke. I don't know how many times you've done bottle noises, well, and I'm sitting here getting secretly annoyed. I'm like, for God's sake.
Sorry. Look at the ground, I said, like you mean it.
I might have to edit that out now, because I do sound like a cock.
Yes, Dad.
What was I going to say? Oh, it's the... See, having the ability to edit the docs on like the iPad, because in the browser it was rubbish on like Mobile Safari.
It was.
So having that, and like, see when I'm out and about, you know, like airports or whatever, and there is a show notes story, dead easy to edit now. It's like, this is trivial.
Yeah. I mean, they're getting more, every single time you come back to it, there's more buttons, there's more styling, it's better at working. You can actually have, you know, a style sheet for your whole document now. It's amazing.
Absolutely. And it's like, I mean, if somebody said to you, go and write the CV right now and that's your only tool, it's like, fine.
And it's just, you know, it's such an easy way to have documents in the cloud as well. And it's got good transfer between offers and stuff like that as well. So it's,
and I was just saying, 3.5 years we've been using it.
Yeah.
And it's never really let us down unless I forget to share out a document.
Was that your fault, was it?
Yeah.
I say your fault, like I do anything about it.
Well, you did. You moaned at me.
I'm good at that. Richard O'Dwyer. He was someone who set up a website which the Americans didn't like and decided they wanted to prosecute him. And they were going
to TV Shack.
They were going to drag him over to the US and sue his ass.
And instead they've kind of settled out of court, he'll pay some sort of small fee and he'll head over to America and seemingly sign a document. If I was him, I'd be crap myself.
I don't think I'd want to go over. No, so voluntarily, exactly. He's going to go over and sign a document to make everything formal.
Seemingly before Christmas, and he'll sign it, pay some sort of small fee, and then come back home.
I do seem to remember this was... So this is a UK citizen, and he had servers set up. I believe they were in the UK. I can't remember now. I just remember it felt... Left a nasty taste in the mouth as far as why Americans were coming over and trying to sue foreign people in foreign lands, basically.
Yes. And I think they were doing it based on, it was American media that he was allegedly sharing, and he was pointing out, all I'm doing is putting a link.
Yeah, it was another one of these. I'm a search engine kind of thing, wasn't it? Yeah.
Interestingly, just on that, Newsbin too. So I guess you remember, we both remember Newsbin, and then it kind of died and it was sued and it was... shut down.
Then it was owned by criminals and horrible people.
Mm. Was it not Mr. Black and Mr. White and all that kind of
like
stuff?
That, yeah.
So they've shut down today.
Right, so it's gone, has it?
It has gone, but looking at the article today, it was a whole lot of things like, you know, PayPal has stopped supporting it, all these other websites, you know, like who paid, you know, your pay options, you know, so I don't know the alternatives to PayPal. They had all stopped doing it. So seemingly they'd went to Bitcoin for how to get money in, and it's like that just sounds, so it's dead. Right. Finished today.
They found a way to shut it. Shut off its money. Shut off its arteries.
Aye, pretty much.
Pretty much. EE have let people download a little bit more. We're not talking much more, but a little bit more.
I have exciting EE news, actually.
Have you?
Yeah.
Are you sure it could be that exciting?
It is. So first of all, this is just their mobile broadband allowance. So it's not if you're on a phone contract. But they've basically said if you paid for 3 gigabytes before, you're now getting 5. If you paid for 5, you're now getting 8. I think if you paid for half a gig, then you're getting a gig and you're still running out in 3 days.
You can watch 1.5 movies now rather than 3/4.
Pretty much. So that seems fair enough. And I do think it's maybe they're saying it wasn't a reaction to like bad publicity or whatever I thought we're saying, but
people don't give away more free stuff.
And you only launched it 2 weeks ago, yeah. You know, so.
Plus, it's still good, is it? It's still shitty.
No. But, and it's either a sign that they've maybe looked at their capacity and bandwidth limits and thought, actually
we're
under, a bit more.
Yeah, we can let people get away with more.
I do think it's maybe a sign that they're maybe not getting the people that they thought they would get.
Well, I hope not, because it's not a very good deal. I say that you're not getting... I know that they're talking about how much faster you can get everything, which is great, but you can't get any more. So what's the point of getting faster if you just run out quicker?
Well, you can get more. It just costs an extraordinary amount of money to get more.
I don't know what benefit they think we're going to get from having just a faster network.
Well, one person who thinks they're getting a lot of benefit is Shaq. Okay. He moved over and he's getting some fantastic speeds in and around Glasgow. So I think the best one so far he's had was something like, I think it was, 25 or 28 down, but 31 up.
Yeah, okay.
Which is ridiculous.
Brill, fantastic. I'm very happy that that's the case, but it's surely the only reason he knows that is because he's just gone on speed test sites. Is that why you sign up to EE? So you can go on speed test sites and just...
Match. So all his, he uses iTunes Match like I do. So all the music's in the cloud. And it can get quite frustrating. And it's been hard for us to know if it's been three or if it's been iTunes Match when you're listening to a piece of music and it just craps out.
Yeah, that's
that. And I've kind of thought it was maybe more three because when I do it on Wi-Fi, it works.
Yeah.
And when I'm doing it, you know, on 3G, it's not working. And also I'm finding like 3G coverage in Glasgow, there's some real kind of bad spots. Whereas certainly I think what Shaq's taking the view is that fair enough, he's losing his unlimited broadband. 3 gig he's now on. And previously he's used a maximum of 2.6. I think potentially because it is now working so well and so fast, might start he'll use more.
Yeah. But then it gets, I guess that is the advantage. Yeah, you can start listening to your music and it can just download all in the background, can't it? So.
And the other thing to weigh up is I'm paying £18. I'm getting unlimited broadband. I've got 1 gig tethering in that, which is plenty for me. And to move to E would be £31 and it'd be a 12-month rather than a 1-month contract. So you are tied in.
How does it know you're tethered?
Anyway.
Okay.
My brain is frying. We need Brian to tell us. Brian, send us an email.
Kickstarter have been sued over a 3D printer that got kickstarted.
This is bonkers.
Yeah, so basically Kickstarter got funding for a company for $2.9 million to produce a new 3D printing device. And the reason they said that they could produce this so cheaply, whereas before the technology has been so much more expensive, because they said that some patents had expired. Well, it transpires that the owners of those patents don't think they have expired and are now chasing down for immediate and irreparable injury, basically. And they're suing Kickstarter as part of that because Kickstarter received the 5% of those funds.
Yes, it does seem a bit, you know, so if they just started up their own website and people had funded it that way, why wouldn't they sue Google, who are making money off adverts from that website display? I don't get it. I just don't get why they're chasing Kickstarter. Well, fair enough, they're making money, but...
So I guess they're saying that Kickstarter advertised this and are part of the... whole process, and this wouldn't have got traction if it hadn't been for Kickstarter. Maybe
it'll be interesting to see. You know, they've talked. I mean, 3D printer is one. It's almost like one of these tomorrow world type technologies. It's been talked about for years and years and years, and it does seem to be getting a bit more traction now that it's the prices are coming down to.
You can literally, I think you can buy a relatively decent machine now for about £2,000, and it's desktop sized. As in, it's going to be funny. It's going to be funny one day when we look back and see these massive things that we used to think were quite.
I'm surprised you've not bought one already, and you're making little cheesy logos to hand out, cheesy key rings and stuff to hand out at your racing
How
next year.
How good would that be?
See, I think the more I could convince you over the next couple of weeks, the more I talk about it, the more better you think that would be fantastic.
The reason I can't do that is because I have a car that I cannot. I've got money left. I've just spent it all. But I did say there's one particular one. I don't know if it is this Kickstarter one, but it just looks amazing. You can just literally go and buy it and then suppose, I mean, they had open sourced all the kind of, I don't know what they call it, their genetics, effectively, the programs you put into it that then produce items. And they had open sourced all that. And I think they're kind of backtracking, which has pissed off their community a little bit. But what you can do with them nowadays is pretty amazing.
And I can see the next big kind of underground thing. And I'm not saying like torrents and stuff is underground, as in it's so massively popular, but this kind of, I think it's going to be 3D models. It's going to be, you know, downloading like a 3D model for a bumper case for an iPhone.
Yeah.
Because you just make your own instead of buying one. And people will be like, hold on, you can't do that.
And then
I've spent loads of money tooling all this and you're just going to download that for free? No.
It's going to be hard to stop them, isn't it? But yeah, it's like...
Lego blocks.
Make...
Infinite Lego.
Yes, good point. Take a while though. Be annoying waiting for that. Surface Pro from Microsoft, they've now released pricing. Blah. So this is the Surface. Is this the Surface that's coming with both levels of Microsoft Windows 8? Is that right?
Well, it comes with full fat Windows. Right, it's not the RT nonsense.
So basically it's got RT, but it's got the Windows behind it kind of thing. So you've got your Metro, whatever they're calling it now, the new interface. With the windows behind it. Okay, so 64 gigabyte model starting $899. 128 gigabyte model starting at $999. Extra for having the touch cover and the type cover.
Of course it is.
Higher spec devices.
As well.
Oh yeah, you can have pen access. Comes with higher spec. It's got an i5 processor. So it's effectively a laptop.
It is a laptop.
So full HD resolution. But it's laptop and it's laptop prices.
And it's got a laptop fan.
Has it? Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of blurring the lines between a tablet and a laptop, even, you know, to the extreme, but it's not the tablet end of the market. You can see why Apple have avoided this area, because it's just too fraught with what is this thing and what do I use it for?
I know this is quite harsh because there's lots of other people have failed with tablets over the last couple of years, but at the moment, Apple iPads, ding.
Yeah.
Amazon Fire, ding.
Yeah.
Google Nexus, ding. Samsung and whatever tablets, because they release about 50. Ding, 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 ding.
All with the same name as well.
Yeah, exactly. Surface, not so good, because it looks like if the rumours are true tonight, they've halved the amount of orders to component manufacturers.
It's just not sparking anyone's imagination, is it?
I've used one now, and I just think it's a turkey. I'm more convinced after using it for 10 minutes that, yeah, this is guff.
I think their tile idea, it looks great to start with. I think when you dig, I'm not sure it's got the legs. I'm not sure it has.
I think it's great for a phone.
I'm not even sure about that.
No, I think it's great for a phone.
i10. So Microsoft has sort of been fighting back a little bit about the trolls and the negatives and people online. They've released a video. Go take a look at it. I don't know what the video is called. It's on YouTube. Effectively digging at people like us, who are the sheep who constantly bar on about how rubbish IE is, and really we're behind the times because IE is probably the best browser out there according to Microsoft.
I'm liking your advice to listeners. There's a video. It's on YouTube.
It's just you know, find it.
There's only 1.3 other million videos uploaded today. It's actually a very good video.
It's very funny.
It is basically saying, all that stuff you said wasn't far off the mark, and we're getting a wee bit better.
Yeah, but also it does. this is me being so negative. It shows that they're adding tons and tons and tons back into the browser. You know how we fought for years to get rid of the crap that comes in browsers because it leads to incompatibility. It looks like, you know, they've just released a karaoke standard. I don't know if that's a joke or what. But
it was a joke.
Exactly. But so what I'm trying to get down is they're trying to say, go down that route of making something for everyone. And really, they're just adding more and more shit. Bad stuff.
No. The way I looked at it was, it's like we are making it better. And you can keep on hating, but see if you come back, there'll be something there you think, actually, that's nice.
Okay. Well, I want karaoke. Right.
Speaking of karaoke.
Gangnam Style, easy for me to say, has become the most viewed video on YouTube. I've not watched it on YouTube. Maybe I haven't added my number to this. How many is it? It is 803.7 million.
Wow.
People have watched that video on YouTube.
I watched it on YouTube, and actually it was Tom Watson, Labour MP, who tweeted it about 6 months ago.
Wow.
And just said
he was ahead fantastic. Of the curve,
and I watched it and I was like,
Gangnam Style.
You know, I know I don't understand what the guy's saying, but that would be a hit. I just watched it and thought, that's fantastic. I actually watched it a couple of times and I liked it.
You were there at the beginning, weren't you? You were there at the beginning.
No, because by that time there was about 40 or 50 million views, so it's not exactly okay.
So cutting edge.
Yeah, but when I watched it, I was like, it never really appeared again. And I was talking to a couple of folk about it, and they're like, you're a crank.
Probably took a summer of Ibiza for people to come back, and that's probably where it got big.
I wouldn't know.
Anyway, chopped the Bieber off the top spot.
Right, it's now at 850 million.
There you go. So it's moving quite quick then. I better go and add my number to it.
I think you should.
So yeah, anyway, Bieber's off the top spot. Wii U is out tomorrow or today. Tomorrow. Today. If you're listening to this, it's today. As we're doing it, it's tomorrow.
To me. To you.
Yeah. it's already been released in the US, am I right?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
Yes, and it's been getting okay reviews. But a lot of people are still, I think developers are reluctant at the moment because they can't find a killer feature to use on the touchpad. And they obviously want to use the technology there, but they can't sort of factor that in because a lot of games nowadays are multi-platform. And how do you make a multi-platform game that then uses this additional feature without upsetting the balance?
And I mean, some of the stuff I was saying was things like, you know, get it because it's HD Mario. And it's like, yeah, but
they've been saying that because the only reason to buy the last few consoles has been the good, you know, the good Mario games. So now they're just saying, well, it's good Mario games, HD.
I still can't get away from that. Sega. This is the last one. Yeah, it's harsh but true. And I keep trying to think, is it just because we've outgrown that kind of market and it's not, it just doesn't appeal
to
us?
Maybe it is. Maybe that's exactly what it is. But also, they made loads of money off of the, you know, the Wii.
And Shaq's thinking of buying one. And I was telling him, no, it's madness, but I'm kind of thinking, buy one. And I can have a play.
Yeah, exactly. Then I don't have to.
It's the same with the Wii. He bought the Wii. I enjoyed it for that, for those first couple of games.
Yeah, it was amazing to start playing that. But I'd say it was, they probably made more than anyone else in that generation because they made money on every single product they sold. And okay, their numbers went down, but they weren't losing money, so. In fact, that was one of the things that games developers moaned about, was the fact that the only people really making money were Nintendo.
Yeah, but the last couple of quarters have been really tough for them.
Yeah.
You know, so they are looking, it's looking grim.
Not looking good. Okay, that's the end of the news. So you've got a pick for us.
I have two.
Two picks.
There's loads, came home today and there's loads of apps tipped yesterday and today. So these are two iPhone or iOS apps. The first one is Flashout 3D, which sounds absolutely horrendous, but it's basically Wipeout.
Which we know you love.
Similar tracks, similar models, they used similar font. And
how did they not get sued?
I've no idea.
Probably because Psychosis have gone under, haven't they? So.
Yeah, but Sony still own it. And that's why I bought it today. It's one.
Get it before it gets withdrawn.
Absolutely. And it's a universal, so it works on the iPad and iPhone. I found it a bit easier on the iPhone, just control-wise, because it is kind of like steer with the iPhone and the iPad.
Does it work?
And, well, it was fast. Weapons were a bit sucky, so definitely not as good or polished as Wipeout, but day one release, the track was certainly good. Music wasn't good, but I'm hoping that I can just fire up some Chemical Brothers and that'll
all
do
you need.
Me. That's all you need. Or a wee bit of left field. So that's one to look at. And then there's Fantastic Owl. Fantastic Owl has been out for a while on the Mac, and a kind of alternative calendar. It kind of syncs with the main iCal app, but sits in the menu bar. You don't need to worry about it. It's got some natural language, so you did the kind of, you know, meet Chris tomorrow at 12, and instead of having to pick 12 and put colons in, it just put it in and it worked. Same now for iPhones, got some nice innovative features, and it's probably the quickest and easiest way to actually add a calendar entry. So this is probably my default calendar app, and again, I think that was $169. It's on sale 50% at the moment.
So if you use iCal, great little addition, really.
Well, you can replace iCal and get rid of that crap, ripped, torn paper nonsense.
But it still goes up to the cloud, is that right?
Oh, yeah, it syncs. Yeah. It syncs up with all the kind of iCloud-y, yeah, Google-y type stuff.
Okay, there you go. Fantastic, Al.
And just when you were mentioning that nice nostril noise, by the way. just something that I noticed a few people tweeting about iTunes 11 tonight. A lot of people didn't look when 10 came out and we lost all the colour on the sidebar. The colours have been back. So I do wonder if this is a sign of maybe some design changes. The icon sucks like hell, but the icon looks exactly like the App Store icon. Side by side, it's like, what's the difference?
Which one do I click on yet?
Oh, it's rubbish.
I look forward to downloading it then. Okay, so we might have another design change. Let's leak some colour back in. And that is the end of our podcast for this evening. If you would like to find out more, you can do at www.digitaloutbox.com. info@digitaloutbox.com is the email address. Twitter and Skype, we're both Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as CheesyUK. Where can we find you, Ian?
Website is iandee.net. And even though I've not posted for like 2.5 months, but I'm going to put a review up of the Nexus 7 and my thoughts on Android. Although maybe I should put that in Digital Outbox, actually. Twitter is Streeper. App.net is Ian Dick. And I think that's about it.
Think so. All right, then. Only leaves for me to blow my nose whistle. And that's the end of our podcast for this evening. We'll speak to you not next week. We're away next week, the week after, for our final episode of the year. So we'll speak to you then. Bye.
Toot toot.
All aboard.